Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Excellent. Excited. I'm excited. Man, I was sitting there, it's like, bubble, bubble, bubble. Woohoo, here it comes. Tonight, God's going to show us some secrets. How many of you want to have a great life? That'd be nice. Nice as a biscuit. God wants you to have a great life, more than just a biscuit. Tonight's going to be awesome. Yeah. It's about riches, fame, and long life. God has a plan for you. He's got a destiny for you. He's had a thought for you. And he wants you and me to live in great wealth, great fame, and a long time. In fact, can I just suggest that without Jesus, the only person that knows us are the people that we don't want to know us. The only wealth that we generate is what we can earn by our own sweat of our brow, which may not be a lot. And we can only just about make life work. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you can remember, if you don't know Jesus, how many can remember that it was like walking around and we put loads of stuff in our pockets, but it seemed like the world was making holes in it and it was dropping on the floor. Do you know what I'm talking about? Maybe for some of you in the room, you had loads of creative ideas, good ideas, you had loads of positivity, but when you had a go, it kind of just went... How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you maybe sometimes before you knew Jesus, if you know Jesus, you thought you could change the world when you were a teenager. You thought you knew everything. In fact, I wish I'd have preached this half an hour ago when I was God here. Everybody in the room thinks that they know everything when they're a teenager. How many of you know when you get a bit older that you don't have to know everything, you just have to do everything? Does that make some sense to somebody? Come on, I'm preaching to Larry because Larry's slightly older than a teenager. Hallelujah. How many know when you kind of get into your 20s, you kind of begin to chill out a little bit and sometimes life begins to tell you what you can do and what you can't do. And when you get into your 30s, you look back and think, oh, I wish I'd have done that when I was younger. You are younger. Amen. And when you get 40, you think there's a hill coming and I'm over it. No, you're not. It's not a hill. It's just a bubble in the ground. I hate those mugs that say I'm 40 over the hill. There is no hill. It's just a plateau. When you get into your 50s, you think, oh, hello, I'm halfway through. Halfway through what? I have no idea. What I know is that God has promised you and me wealth, riches, and a long life. That's what his word says. Where does it say that? I'm going to show you where it says that in a moment. I've kind of spoken this message a few times, and every time I speak this message, God speaks to me about two words that produce wealth, prestige, long life. And those two words are really, really, really short words, but they really, really do hurt. One is humility, and the other one's fear. It says in the Bible, and it's going to come up behind me in a moment, I'm just going to read from a couple of versions. One is the Amplified, so I'm going to do my Amplified version in a moment. Proverbs 22, verse 4, it says this in the Amplified. The reward of humility and the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. Move this around. Wheels on it. Is there something in the heart of God that wants you to enjoy life? Amen. Wants you to prosper? Wants you to have an expectation of you have more than enough? That there is not some gloomy day waiting to jump out on your now, but the next day is going to be better than the last day. I believe the Bible says that there is a tremendous destiny locked up in you as we respond to the greatness of God when we see how God great is. I don't know how many of you are experiencing that in the last kind of, 45 minutes, but I literally felt the presence of Jesus walk into the room. But why did he walk in the room? Not to be in the room. He wanted me to see he was in the room. But why did he want me to see that he was in the room so I could respond to him so that he could respond to me? What I love about Jesus is he's not some taskmaster who stands over our lives saying, sort it out and I'll sort it out. He doesn't say, get it right and I'll get it right. He doesn't say, if you're good, I'll be good. No, he cannot help being good. He wakes up good. He goes to sleep good, if I can say that. Every thought he has is a good one. It's just God with an extra O in it. Good, you'll remember that one. Everything Jesus thinks is good. Woo-hoo! I love it. When Jesus comes in the room, he doesn't just come in so that our worship begins to change. He comes in so that we begin to change. And tonight Jesus is in this room, he's in United, he's in J 24/7. Not just so that he appears, because he wants us to respond so that we have greater wealth, longer life, and much more fun in Jesus. Amen. I think fun's really important. Why? Because you are in the middle of it. Amen. That one went straight over your head. My wife is looking at me in that kind of look that says, wait till I get you home. Hello there, come on. Then it goes on in a message, and I love the message. It says, the payoff for meekness and fear of God is plenty. Amen. And honor and a satisfying life. Come on, I love that. I don't know who wrote that book, but they obviously knew what they were talking about. But the payoff, there's a payoff. If you don't know Jesus, there's a payoff. It's not a very nice one. It says the wages of sin is death. Who wants a payoff like that? I'll tell you what, I'm glad you came, because everybody else, I don't know what they're doing. They're just thinking a lot. Also says in Proverbs that the wages of righteousness, the wages of being right, is eternal life. Amen. I don't know what kind of wage packet you're used to getting at the end of the month, but I know the wage that God wants to give, and it's honor, and it's wealth, and it's life. I know that in the pay scheme of God, he wants to give you more than you have. He wants to give you more than you need. He wants to give you more than you ask for. He wants to give you more than you can even think or imagine. In the pay schedule of God, he wants to bless you and then go on blessing you and then give you a bit more and then push a bit more in. In the pay scale of God, he wants to give you because he wants to give it to you. Woo, I like that. So I don't know about you, but every time I look at this, it's like, God, you just want to make me rich. And I say, what does that mean? He says, I just want you to know me. Yeah. I'm not talking about pounds, shilling and pence. I'm not talking about something with the queen's head on it. I'm talking something with the king's head on it. I'm talking about something that's got the King of Kings head stamped on it. In Genesis, it says, you've been made, you've been fashioned, created, formed in the image of God. You've got the King's head stamped on you. You've got Jesus' stamped on you. You've got the Holy Spirit stamped on you somewhere. Man, that's rich. Man, we're rich. If you know Jesus, you're the richest person here. Why? Because he's for you. He's a destiny. He's a home giver. He's provided everything we need, the Bible says, for life and for godliness. I'm excited. Anybody else in the slightest bit? Just tell your face that you're excited on the inside. I tell you what. Something is happening. I think Jesus is kind of fed up with us thinking he's fed up with us. I think Jesus is kind of bored with us thinking that he's bored of us. I think Jesus has kind of come to the end of a piece of string, if he has a piece of string, with us thinking that we're the end of our piece of string. I think Jesus wants to just give us a bit of a charge. Can you feel charged coming towards you tonight? I can feel a charge on the inside of me. It's like, oh, come on then, there's something happening on the inside. Ooh, yeah. Goes on to say this in the NIV, which is up behind me. Well done, Andrew, you're on it. Is honor. Now, we've got a lady in the congregation called Honor. I'm not talking about a person. I'm talking about divine respect. I'm talking about being esteemed. I'm talking about the reality that when God looks at you, he wants to lift you. I'm talking about the reality that when God sees you, he wants to move you up, not down. I'm talking about the reality that when Jesus looks at you, he don't want to squash you. He wants to get you out the squash and put you somewhere you can't get on your own. I'm talking about an honoring where Jesus looks at you and says, I'm going to make something great out of that person. I'm going to make something heroic out of that person. I'm going to make someone a champion out of that seat. That's honor. That word honor, it has absolutely no expectation of return. There's just honor. This word says you'll get honor. Also goes on in honor in another couple of ways. It says, honor one another. What does that mean? I'll give an example for me of what that means. If somebody comes into my room, has a conversation in my office, in my house like today, I want them to leave knowing that they can do it, not that I can do it. If I'm in a conversation with someone, I want those person to leave thinking they're great, not thinking I'm great. So for me, honor is a step It's an attitude where someone can come in whatever situation they're in and step in wherever I am and get higher as a result, not less as a result. Jesus doesn't step on us and think, ew, what's that? He picks us up and says, I'm going to take you from that to this. We're the only ones that maybe when our name come up on our mobile, and we look at that and think, I'm not talking to that person. Jesus doesn't say that. We could be the only people, if we saw us coming up the street, it's like, I don't want to talk to them. Jesus doesn't do that. Why? Because he honours us. There's honour in his heart. I love it. And it says when we give our lives to Jesus, we become amongst the honourable. Because there's one thing to honour, which is kind of an attitude. It's something that happens. It's another thing to be honourable. We just do the right thing. And we do things right. And when you give your life to Jesus, it's because he's honoured us. How do I know that's true? We sung it. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's honour. That's honour with an end game. It's honour with a journey around it. Do I deserve to be there? Absolutely not. Did I deserve it? Absolutely not. Could I do anything? Absolutely not. It's because of honour. Man, Jesus wants us living in his house. That's why he went off a couple of thousand years ago to put some more rooms on the thing. He wants us to live in his house. Why? Because he honours you. He honours you. Then it goes on here, and life, what does that mean? It doesn't just mean we manage to exercise our lungs every 40, 50 times a minute. It doesn't mean that one of the biggest muscles in our heart goes in and out 70 times a minute, gives 100. It doesn't mean that. It means that we have God's life right now, right here. Is that we can enjoy not just life now, but from now, forever, right now. Man, that's in the heart of Jesus tonight. He doesn't just want us existing in life. He wants us to abundantly live in life. To be the head and not the tail. To be the overcomers, not the undertakers. Hallelujah. Jesus' heart. And I just, you're feeling some of the passion coming out. Because every time I look at this, he's like, I can't believe this. I can't understand it. Jesus said, don't worry about understanding it. Don't even worry about believing it. Just align your life with it. Because this isn't the result of my expectation. It's the result of God's heart. It's the result of Jesus' destiny. It's the result of his attitude towards me. What's my response going to be? Jesus, I just want you to live for me. You see, humility is not thinking less about ourselves. It's thinking about ourselves less. Oh, hello, we've got some scribblers at the front. That was a good one. You need to get the message again. Humility is not about thinking less about ourselves. It's about thinking about ourselves less. Jesus doesn't work because we think we're a miserable worm. He already knows what kind of worm we are. How do you know which end a worm is? Tickle it in the middle, see which end lasts. Jesus doesn't do that. He's not interested in how we think we are. He's interested in how we think he is. As we humble ourselves before the Lord, the Bible says, what does that mean? It means I want his way. I want Yahweh, not my way. And I want him to be on top, not me to be on top. I want him to tell me what to do, not society to tell me what to do. I want to live for him and for others, not for others and in him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is I'm making choices which are humility. Man, I don't want to be on show. When Andrew said that, I understand the sentiment, but I hate that thing. Why? Because it puts me in the middle. I don't want to be in the middle. I want to be Christ in the middle. So humility is my response, not to get a reward, but to who Christ is. Man, I couldn't even get saved. Without humility, I'll still be unsaved. Because the opposite of humility is pride. I don't need Jesus. Yes, I jolly well do, and so do you. I don't need the Holy Spirit. Really? I don't need an eternal life. You say? So even humility helped me get saved. Without it, man, I'd be a miserable sinner, not just a miserable saint sometimes. But then I've got to live out of humility. What does that mean? It means, Jesus, let your will be done. I'm going to make your choice my choice. I'm going to make your way my way. You see, we cannot shortchange God's heart. Jesus lived this kind of life, humility. I'm not even going to go there unless my Father tells me to go there. And I'm not even going to say anything unless he gives me the words to say. And I'm not even going to do anything until he shows me what to do. Jesus walked in tremendous humility. But why did he do what he heard the Father tell him? Why? Because of adoration, which is the fear of the Lord. Doesn't mean we're afraid. There's reverence there. There's this respect and honor. Fear isn't, oh, he's a spooky God. No, he's not spooky. He's awesome. God is awesome. God is amazing. He's not some crutch for life. He is life. Humility is, I just want to do it Yahweh. I want to do it so much because he's God and he's always right and he's for me and he's not against me. He's not turned his face against me. He's not turned his back on me. Your circumstances and situation may have told you things like that, but the attitude and the character of God will never align itself with that. When Jesus said, I will never leave you, he made a guarantee he would never leave you. When he said, I'll never forsake you, he made a written statement. He made a physical statement. He made a spiritual statement. I will never forsake you. It's a done deal. What's he asking for? Nothing. He's asking us to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. What happens as a result? Honor, wealth, and life. Man, the benefits. Says in Psalms, forget not all.
That's right.
Yeah. Man, I don't think we even know them all to forget them. I don't think we know them all yet. I think there are benefits today, which we just don't know what they are. I think there's benefits in God's heart for you tomorrow. You don't even know what they are yet. Tomorrow's going to be the only Monday like that you've ever had. Tuesday the same, Wednesday the same, Thursday the same. One of the benefits is that God wants us to have a healthy, wealthy, life-filled Monday. He wants us to have an honorable Tuesday. He wants us to have a packed full of life Wednesday. He wants us to have a Thursday which is just full of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to have a Friday where kingdom life is just coming out and we can't stop it. He wants us to have a Saturday that blows every other Saturday out of the sky. He wants us to have a Sunday that isn't church. Come on. Church isn't mentioned here, but this is a dynamic within the house. Everybody within the body is honored. Everybody in the house has been given life of the Holy Spirit. And that's you and that's me. Powerful, right? Jesus honors his body. He loves his body. The Bible says he laid down his life for his body. Why? Because he honors you. Your life matters. Your life matters. How you live, how you think, how you talk to people, how you respond or react to people. Your life matters. How you look, how you just communicate, verbally, non-verbally, it all matters. How you are right now matters. God knows whether you are honoring and you're fearing him. Do you want to know how he knows? Would you like to know? This is a bit embarrassing. Would you like to know how he knows if you're honoring him or fearing him?
Yeah,
on how you do that with me right now. I don't like saying that, but it's the only way that I can say that. Because the Bible's really clear. If you can't love the person in front of you that you can see, how can you love the God that you can't see? In the same kind of way, how can we honor God that we can't see if we can't honor the people around us that we can? How can we walk in humility one with another with the God who loves us that we can't see if we can't do that with what John and Tom is saying? So I hate to be at the center, but for this example, I'm just going to have to do that. Because how you honor God will determine how you see God, and how you see God determines what you receive from God. Come on. This whole thing is a whole load of stuff going on here tonight. Why? Because this is going to be a life changer. Tonight isn't just about let's go to the leisure center and let's have a bit of praise and worship and let's hear a message from God. God honors you too much. He thinks too much of you just to come every Sunday and have a nice time with Jesus. You can have a nice time coming. You can have a nice time leaving. But when we're here, man, God wants to change our world upside down. He wants to transform us, the Bible says, from one degree of glory to another one. That's what he's doing tonight. Yep. He's kind of opening up, maybe some blowing some dust off some corners of our life where it's just like, man, I've just been a bit proud there. I've just taken responsibility where I should have given him responsibility. Maybe I've just been decisive where I should have just waited for him to tell me what to do. Maybe I've just made a choice instead of choosing to ask him, what do you want me to do, Lord? I have no idea. All I know is that the consequence, the benefit of walking in humility with the Lord, with one another, walking in a reverent fear of God and with honor and respect of one another, is, man, we have a great life. Amen. And you can't buy it. You don't get it through the post office. You don't get it through the hospital. You don't get it through social services. You don't get it by just working really, really hard. You get it because Jesus gives it. Hallelujah. Why is that? Because the Bible says that God will raise up the humble. He wants to raise you up. He wants to give you a rise. Come on. Okay, nobody wants that. Yes, he wants to esteem you. I know, just as we were kind of in time of worship there, God told me a couple of things. There's two people here. I think one of them is a young person. I was going to nab them later. And it feels like the world's having a go at you at the moment. It feels like you've hit the ceiling of opportunity and the ceiling of destiny. Why? Because for a moment you started to believe your press, your reports around you. God is saying, don't listen to them, listen to me. I'm going to lift you up. I'm about to give you an opportunity. I'm about to extend your influence within the working environment. Why? Because I honor you. Because I want you to be blessed. I want you to demonstrate richness. And I visited one of the young people. One of them came here. They just fallen out with a parent. Why? I have no idea. All I know is that they think they've fallen out with God and they haven't. They haven't. Because Jesus loves them too much. Like he loves you too much. And okay, there might have been a bit of a cross word, but the cross uncrosses the cross word. I tell you, it's all coming out here tonight. The cross uncrosses the cross. The cross uncrosses the cross word, the cross attitude, the cross ambition, the cross face. The cross uncrosses it. Why? Because that's where, for me, over time and space, we see what humility and the fear of the Lord looks like in a physical realm. When Peter stood up in Acts and he started to preach, and that was incredible. Just imagine, he'd spent days just pushing in, crying out for God. God, we want to live for you. We want to die for you. We want to serve you. All that stuff. And then suddenly, the very presence of the Holy Spirit begins to fill a room, where hundreds of people experience Jesus for the first time like that. And the power of God they experience for the first time like that. And in amidst all of that brilliant meeting, Peter stood up, it says. I think that's amazing. I don't think anybody in this room could have stood up. Peter stood up. I think that's incredible. And Peter stood up and started to preach the first message that the church preached. What was it? It's your fault he went to the cross. But it was God's idea. Blows your mind, right? So if you want to see what humility and the fear looks like, if we want to remember, what does that mean? Jesus lived it totally, ultimately. Why did he do that? So that we could do that. There is no one that you know that you can't love. Maybe sometimes we just try it in the wrong way. Yeah. There's no one that you know that you can't love on. Maybe we'll just try it in the wrong way. There's no one that you know that winds you up so much that you want to kill them for too long. Why? Because humility and the fear of the Lord won't allow it. They don't go there. It brings honor, riches and life. There's no argument that you have to win or lose. There's no relationship that you have to leave broken. It's not there. That's not in our destiny. It's not in this lifestyle of humility and the fear of the Lord. It's just not there. There's no one that has accused you beyond redemption. There is no one that has said the meanest word you've ever heard that can just stay there. It's not like that. Because as we live out this lifestyle, and it isn't easy, but it is very, 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 very fruitful. Why? Because it says humility and fear of the Lord bring honor and wealth and life. Sometimes we look for the physical when actually we should be looking at the attitude of our own heart. Because what I'm talking about is a heart attitude. And I believe you have that. I believe as a house we have that.
But I also know that this city needs to see people living like this. Amen. I know that there's 120,000 people that would translate riches, honour and life in a totally different way than I'm talking about. They'd be talking about big hats, big cars, big houses, big pay packets, big problems. They'd be talking about, I've got my own network. Everybody now can be their own celebrity. If you've got a smartphone or even a half smartphone or even a really stupid phone, you can be your own celebrity. You can set up your own fame platform. You can even like yourself. You can. It's easy to be a celebrity, but Jesus wants you to be famous. Man, I tell you what, one day God's going to shout your name out and the whole of heaven's going to hear it. He's going to shout out, "Here's Claire, and I made Claire awesome. Woohoo! Everybody give it up for Claire." And there's going to be multitudes and tens of thousands and thousands of angels. They all stop looking at him and they start looking at, "Who is this Claire?" Jesus says, "Here's one. I'm going to present before my Father without spot blemish and I'm going to enjoy it." The next day it's going to be, "And there's Joe. And Joe, she's supporting Wales, but we love her anyway." That's honour. Doesn't the Bible say that if you honour the Lord publicly, he will honour you publicly? That's what I'm talking about. All of our lives are lived in the public realm. Everybody here lives in front of someone, even if it's just an audience of one. So what am I saying? Two things. How many of you want to live like this? Of course you do. If your hand's not up, it's because you're... I'm not going to say that. I did think it though. Did you feel it? If you don't want to live this kind of life, then you just might as well lie down now on the carpet and with a welcome thing written over you and let the whole world run over you. Because I'm not talking about humility, lay down, take everything, I'm a Christian, no. I'm talking about living under the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about living for the sake of another who is greater than we are. I'm talking about not living for self, but living for him. That's humility. But why? Because he's awesome. Because he's faithful. Because he's mighty. Because he is the light of the world. And he's made you and I the light of the world with him. He's also made us salty. How do we live salty? Living in humility and the fear of the Lord makes you salty. Sometimes it irritates people. Sometimes it annoys people. Some people don't like salt on their chips. You do, don't you? I do. I love salt on my chips. But we're supposed to be salty. So can I just guarantee you, you live one day, one day. Let's start tomorrow if you want to. You live tomorrow totally under the authority of the Holy Spirit. I can guarantee by tomorrow night, you will see a difference. You do it 2 days, and I can guarantee you'll see twice the difference. You do it 3 days, and you start getting on a roll then. What am I talking about? We're living for the Holy Ghost. We're living to see the Master glorified. We're looking to see someone else given all the adulation. Not us, but the one whom we serve. His name is Jesus. But I can also guarantee the second thing. As you do that, he will make sure that you get far more than you give, far more than you give up, far more than you've left, far more than you've had to just... He always gives you more than you give. He always gives you more, not just in terms of quantity, but quality. He'll always give you more than you give. He will never, ever be in debt to anybody in this room or any other room. He cannot. Man, you're going to get recognized in the street. It's like, why are you so happy? Why are you always smiling? Why are you always so cheerful? That's what people come up to me and say, why not? Have a day off. You can't be miserable all your life. Hello there. Man, you want to be famous in the workplace. Why is it you're always on time? Why is it you're always doing it with the work that people pay you for? Because that's what I'm doing. I'm not working for them. I'm working for him, for them. Why is it you never go out doing sex, drugs and rock and roll? Don't say I'm too old. No, it's got nothing to do with that. It's because we're living for another cause. We're living for another destiny. And the destiny is to see Jesus glorified. Is that right? Let's all stand up, shall we? It's 14 minutes to 7. It's time for God to move.
Amen.
I said it's time for God to move.
Amen.
It's a good time for God to move, is now.
Yeah.
We don't need God to move tomorrow, today. We can ask that tomorrow. We need God to move tonight. And he's going to do that in the next 14, 15 minutes. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. He's going to speak to you. He's going to challenge you a little bit, maybe, if that's what we need. Maybe he's going to help you just settle some conversations. Maybe there's been areas where you've just kind of, I'll make that work. God doesn't want any of us to make anything work. He wants us to let the Holy Spirit work, and we just flow with him and respond to him in the right way. Is that okay to say that? The sum total of our good works still equals less than a heap of beans. He isn't interested in our works. Jesus was asked, "Is what kind of work do you do?" And he says, "The work of the kingdom is to believe." So if you want to work, just believe two things. One is that you're honoured. You're esteemed, you're valued. As far as God's concerned, you're priceless. You're precious in his sight. You're a one-off. You're unique. The Bible says that even if you were the only person in the room, he would still give everything he had so that you could be with him. Man, I'll tell you what, that gives you tremendous worth and tremendous value. You are honored. You are honored. Look, God is for you. He's not against you. Secondly, part of what the Holy Spirit helps us to live in is an awareness of God's reality, if I can put it that way. It's one thing to know that Jesus said, "I will never leave you, forsake you." We can know that theologically. But the Holy Spirit reminds us in a tangible way that that is true. The Holy Spirit wants to remind us, he's here. He's with you. He's got things to say and things to do and things to show you. He's here. The Bible says about the Holy Spirit that he will reveal Jesus to us. He'll remind us of everything God has done through Jesus. He'll remind us of everything God has said through Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And the Holy Spirit wants to do that tonight and from tonight in a brand new way. So that tomorrow we just wake up and it's like Jesus is out on the bed. We go downstairs and Jesus is downstairs. We make breakfast and Jesus is having breakfast. We go to work and Jesus goes to work. We go out onto the street and Jesus is on the street. We're chatting with our spouse. Jesus is chatting through us. We're talking to our family. Jesus is talking through us. He's not interested in just watching. Man, Jesus wants to get involved. Father, I want to thank you right now. Holy Spirit, I ask you, please help us to see what we can't see. Please help us to understand what maybe we just can't understand. Open up the eyes of our heart that we can just see your current reality is your presence is with us. I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have reminded us tonight that as we live in humility with you and with one another, as we live in the fear and the reverency of God and in honor of one another, man, our lives are rich. Our life is full. Our life is fat, your Bible says. Our life is extended. You give us full life, full years, full days, full minutes, full moments. I want to thank you that you want to bless us again tonight. Your life wants to come into our lives afresh tonight and charge us and revive us on the inside.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are the voice of reason. I'll tell you what, some of the things that can steal from us this living in humility is our reason. Well, the Holy Spirit is not reasonable. He's unreasonable, but he's always right. After all, when you've been living in a desert for 40 years and your dad had been living in a desert for 40 years and his dad had been living in a desert for 40 years and you hear someone say, build a boat, what are you going to do? That's not very reasonable. I don't know. Noah just did what he heard. Sometimes the Holy Spirit tells us to do things and our head says, that can't be right. Then ask the Holy Spirit to say it again. Because he's always right. Not just in terms of what he says, but when he says what he says. And the grace or the enabling that comes to do what he says when he says it. So Father, I want to thank you. Let's just lift our hands up across the room if we can. I know it's a bit warm, but we've all squirted this evening, so it's fine. Holy Spirit, I want to thank you right now. Your word says that you come upon all flesh, old, young, men, women, those at work, those that work at home, those that go out, those that stay indoors. Holy Spirit, I thank you right now that you come upon everybody under the sound of my voice. You fall afresh upon everybody in United right now. You fall afresh upon everybody in J24/7 right now. You fall upon people whose households we represent right now. I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for a new understanding of your presence. All I'm asking for, Jesus, is to know your presence in a new way tonight. Not just for me, but for us. Lord, I don't want to go into tomorrow unless your presence goes. I don't want to go into this week without your presence going with us. But I thank you that you want to go ahead. You want to go with and you want to follow me. Hallelujah. You surround me by your Spirit. You engulf me by your presence. You hem me in a front and behind by your presence, oh God. Holy Spirit, I thank you right now that you're speaking into hearts. You're speaking into minds. You're speaking into lives. I thank you, Jesus, that you are the lifter of our head. You are our riches. You are our great rewards. You are our treasure. We're just an earthen vessel. You are the treasure that lies within us. You are the treasure that we find in a field. You are the treasure that we forsake all to purchase. You are the treasure that once we've got it, man, we're going to polish it and we're going to look after it. You are the treasure. Father, I thank you that in these next few days, in these next 6-7 days, let us be treasure sharers. Just in how we live for you, just in how we live for one another. Use those things, use those times to translate through our lives your reality to somebody else. Because that's what you say, Lord. You say honor and riches and life are a result of people living in humility. So Holy Spirit, help us to transform our workplace settings, our home place settings, our marketplace settings. Help us to transform our households. Let there be such a sense of your presence in those places. Holy Spirit, please fill our houses, the bedrooms, the kitchens, the dining rooms, the garages. Holy Spirit, come and rule and reign afresh. Holy Spirit, come and put your stamp of your presence in our hearts and lives afresh. Oh, hallelujah. Just if you can pray in the Holy Spirit, you can do that right now. If you can't, just have a go. Maybe you'll enjoy it. Let's just all do that together. Let's just pray in the Holy Spirit just for a few moments. Come on, because it stirs up. It helps us stir up the spiritual climate. Oh, Shikabraha. Oh, come on, Jesus. Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit. Oh, Kok Shakarabahandai. Oh, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. I thank you for your prompting. I thank you for your personality. I thank you for your power. Oh, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and fill my household. Come and fill my community. Come and fill this place with your presence, Holy Ghost. Oh, we want people to see Jesus. We want people to see him. We want people to receive him. We want people to give their lives to Jesus. Holy Spirit, please work on his behalf and on our behalf. I thank you, Lord. I praise you. Oh, I praise you. Oh, hallelujah. Again, just keep every eye closed if you can. I don't know. I'm just going to chuck this one out there, okay? I just felt in the last kind of 30 seconds, we just started to pray a little bit in the Holy Spirit. There might be one or two people here, and kind of your immediate thought was, man, I'm kind of getting this. I'm kind of understanding this, which is great. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. But I just need a bit of help. Now, nobody in this room can help better than the helper. All right? Jesus says, I'm going somewhere, but when I go, you're going to get the advantage because I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
But what I just feel in my heart, and please, so this is maybe for everybody, but there's a few of us here, we'd love to agree and pray with you. And maybe if it's right, lay hands on you. Just as a contact point, you understand, there's nothing mystical in hands. All right? It's just a contact point. But if you just, I just feel there's one or two this week, it's like, actually, man, I needed to hear this tonight because this week there's this happening, or this week there's that, or this week it's like this. Man, we'd love to pray with you. Don't leave without someone agreeing with you. Because the Holy Spirit works through agreement as well. Is that okay? So we're going to kind of need to close this bit of the evening, but we've not finished. All right? So if you want a couple of us to pray, myself, Andrew, Richard, who led the prayer at 5, then we would love to pray with you. And let the Holy Spirit kind of speak to you, directly touch you, maybe heal you, whatever he wants to do, okay? I found in ministry that there's no formula. The only formula is do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do and let him do what he can do. That's it. That's the formula. Sorry if you thought it was more complicated, but it isn't. It's just do what the Holy Spirit says and then just let him get on with it. Is that okay? So we've got a couple of minutes. We don't need any music. We don't need a keyboard. It's nice to have it. We have the Holy Spirit. And we have one another. If you don't feel like you want to come out the front, in case everybody thinks you're an idiot, I stand in front of everybody and I always think I'm an idiot. So get over that if you want to. Or just, if you don't want to come forward, just ask the person next to you. It's like, will you agree with me this week?
That's right.
Will you agree with me that this week the Holy Spirit's going to use me in this, this and this? If you would sooner do that, please do that. All right? That's absolutely fine. Is that okay? So either of those, if you want to do those in the next minute or two, that would be brilliant. Otherwise, I'll just keep walking backwards and forwards. I don't mind. So either come out here and one of us will pray with you, or just turn to the person next to you and say, will you pray with me about this? Is that okay? Off you go, then. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.